Florida's capital city. This is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV, running solo, completely solo today. That's all right. That's the way that the career started, right? That's how we used to roll. You know, it's kind of funny when I think about it this way. By the way, on Twitter, it's at Jay Cameron Show. Thanks to everybody watching. It is pre-recorded today. If you're in the Heisen Lincoln Law Firm chat, sorry, but you can talk amongst each other. But I won't be able to interact with you in that way today. Did want to get you some content before we roll into the weekend. Big series for Florida State, taking on Duke on the road. And they get some good news. I'll touch on that momentarily. It looks like they're starting to get a little bit healthier with the arms. Could go a long way in determining Florida State's future is in terms of a top eight seed somewhere in that area. Now, they don't get everybody back this weekend, but I think they're going to get one arm back, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. Obviously, reaction to the draft. First of all, though, I wanted to do this. You heard me mention it on yesterday's show. I like Jared Verse, the person. I like Jared Verse, the worker. I like Jared Verse, the player. I like Jared Verse, the personality. Now, he's not for everybody if you're playing against him, because he'll tell you about it. But I mentioned yesterday on the show that it kind of feels, you know, like a proud papa in a weird way, only because when he announced he was coming to Florida State, I did an interview with him early on, one of the first, and I got to get a sense of his personality. And it was funny, after that interview, we exchanged numbers. I texted him and wished him all the luck in the world and that I would be out there covering him and we'd see what happened. And that was basically it. I mean, we're not friends. We don't hang out. But he texted back and said, I just want you to watch me work. I think you'll see what I mean. And he was betting on himself, you know, and everybody does to some extent. You have to. But the imagine now the journey having reached this point. What you do know now about Jared Verse and his situation is that he'll be playing with the Rams, and he was a first-round draft pick. So now imagine you're a kid that played at Albany a couple of years ago, and you, through hard work and determination, you're a former tight end, you build yourself up, you invest in, obviously, all that time in the weight room, all that time trying to get better, and now here you are, a first-round draft pick. And I pinch myself for these guys, and I remind myself, I mean, having talked to a lot of players over the years that have been drafted, was at Jameis Winston's draft in the room when he was drafted, which is an all-time fun and cool experience. I love watching that part of it, because we get, you know, all of us as fans of football, I think we get into what it means for that team and what it'll be for my team. Did we get the right guy? Let's debate the merits of that. These days, you get into the finances of it. You get into, well, for the pick value at number whatever, did you get the proper player at what position and what does that value rank? And did you get enough back if you made a trade? And we get mired into the soap opera, the male soap opera that is the NFL, which is a year-round thing. And it's effing awesome. I love it. But we somewhere along the way, you forget that there's a kid who's just like you and me, who one day when he was young, decided he wanted to play football, loved football. Probably saw his dad watching football, or maybe his dad's throwing the ball with him in the yard. And you watch over the years. We all do this. My kids are doing it now. You know, I got a son who's a sophomore playing wide receiver at Leon. He'll be a junior next year. Should be a kind of a big year for him. We'll see what happens. I don't know. And another one is about to enter into the realm, and he's going to be playing at Leon as a freshman next year. And I'm not saying this because I think they're going to go to the NFL. I'm saying just like the process that we all went through, like playing the game that we love, passionately watching, cheering for our teams and playing the game that we love. And then you kind of forget that the people, there are people just like us who are now realizing that dream and had their name called and what that must mean beyond what's the fit, what are the numbers, was it the right pick? Well, Jared Verse, as the 19th overall selection by the Los Angeles Rams, will make and will sign a four-year, $15.1 million contract, which is fully guaranteed. The rookie deal is roughly, $7.8 million from what I'm reading as a signing bonus. It includes a fifth-year option for him for the Rams to hold on to him through the 28th season. And he was the third edge rusher off the board. Now, yesterday's show, you will recall that I talked about Dallas Turner. I talked about Latu. And I talked about Verse as the big three. All went. And, you know, we kind of figured out, like, who is it? Who what kind of player do you want? One is the guy that has the traits, Dallas Turner, who, by the way, was sitting there for Atlanta to take when they made the most mind-boggling decision of the entire draft, maybe excluding Bo Nix going to Denver. But nonetheless, that's a nutso pick by Atlanta. I'll get into that in a minute. I like Penix, by the way, but there's a whole lot of reasons that that's a messed up pick. But they desperately needed a defender. They didn't take Dallas Turner. They didn't take Latu. They didn't take Verse. They took a quarterback. Okay. So once you saw how this was playing out, I began to get a little worried for Jared that he may end up falling well into the 20s. And then I got excited that the Bucs might be able to grab Jared Verse. As it turns out, he goes 19 overall. But those are the numbers. So Jared Verse, as of right now, is worth a cool $15 million, 7.8 right up front. Here you go, young man. Enjoy that signing bonus. You talk about a kiss my ass on Main Street moment. You talk about I always joke around over the years about going pantless in the right situation. No pants for Jared Verse today. No pants. That's if he's so inclined. Excuse me. I mean, whew. What it must be like in that moment to get that call and to have somebody say, "You're our guy. You're the 19th pick overall." It's got to be incredible. As I go on a coughing fit. Congratulations to him. Today, Braden Fisk will go. Today, Keon Coleman will go. We'll see what Knowles go where after that. We know there's a very good shot over the next couple of days, of course, that you're going to hear Trey Benson's name, Jerrion Jones's name, Renardo Green, Johnny Wilson, obviously the aforementioned Keon Coleman, Jared Verse. Jaheim Bell is another guy. And I would have liked to have seen Jaheim Bell have a healthy season. I said this about so many of the Knowles that are in this draft, but I think that's probably going to hurt him. I think there's some other things that might hurt him, but the hope is obviously that all of those guys get their names called over the next 48 hours. Now, as for Jordan Travis, a lot of pretty glowing things have been said about him lately with film review. I know you guys saw probably RG3's film breakdown of him. There have been a few others that I've seen that were very complimentary. Jordan has his limitations like all players do. Of course, the big question mark is the injury and how quickly he can be at full strength. Anybody that takes him would not do so to make him a starter anytime soon. He might get the luxury of going to the right place and the right fit where he can have a couple of years to figure it out, perhaps. And that's what you can hope for Jordan Travis. But I'd love to hear him have his name called as well as some of the other players. So we'll see. Florida State has, probably 9-10 for sure that we're going to be looking at. All right, back to this for a second. Florida State baseball on the road against Duke. I mentioned at the outset here that I think the Noles are going to get an arm back that they've desperately needed. And this is we've talked a lot about this, how it has hamstrung them in these series, where basically when you don't have two starters, and obviously we know that they've been without Leiter, without Connor Whitaker. What Link Jarrett said yesterday is important. He mentioned, and I'm going to find the exact quote, we have to be smart in how we use him, talking about Ben Barrett. He's only made, you know, three appearances on the year. He's 9.2 innings, I think, 9 2/3. But he's Florida State, in my opinion, does not have enough reliable arms from the right side. And guys that I'm talking about, guys that can come in and challenge the strike zone, guys that can come in and throw strikes. They don't have enough of those guys. Ben Barrett is that guy. He's got a chance. He's a smart player. He's a smart pitcher. He's got good enough stuff. Before he got hurt, he was throwing hard. He was throwing harder than I ever thought he could. I know I want to give credit where credit's due. I think Brett Nevitt tweeted out earlier this year that he was throwing 94. I would not have guessed that Ben Barrett would have been able to do that, but there he is. And so you get that back, and if he moves the ball around, now I think they'll probably look to him for, you know, 30 pitches or thereabouts, but that can go a long way. It could be a couple of innings for you from the right side when you need it. They just simply haven't had it, and thus they've been forced to thrust young kids into positions that they never would have wanted to put freshmen in. I'm talking about being on the road against stacked lineups with a lot on the line against a top 15 team. Ideally, you're going to get these guys in situations midweek. You'll slowly build them up to that place. But they haven't had that luxury with Whitaker being out and Leiter being out. Now, what has emerged is that one of the long relievers, like Carson Dorsey, they've extended him time and again, and he'll stay in the weekend rotation this weekend as a guy that you know, I don't think they planned on having him be that kind of a starter, but he's a guy who's done that before. He did it before he came here. So, you know, maybe now you have four starters as guys get to come back healthy. You know, you obviously Friday starter's Jamie Arnold, today's starter Jamie Arnold. But Dorsey struck out 11, gave up 2 runs in 6 innings. You know, you go back and look at what this team was when they were healthy in the rotation and everybody kind of slotted where they're supposed to be. I'll reiterate, I have high hopes. I think this team, if those guys come back, if Whitaker and Leiter come back and join what we now know Carson Dorsey to be, and you've got Ben Barrett back from the right side, and everybody else kind of gets moved into the right positions, we know the offense is amongst the nation's best. If all that is right at the right time, if you haven't slid too far away from a top 8 national seed or top 16 seed, you're going to be in real good shape. You're going to be in a position as you enter postseason to maybe be hitting your stride. It's just a question of how quickly they get these arms back and they can build them back to maximum stamina. If you're going to go easy with Ben Barrett and he's going to throw 30 pitches this weekend at most, obviously you got to ease him back into that situation, and he builds up strength. He builds up the ability to be extended further. The same will happen. They've got to be very careful with Leiter. They're going to have to be very careful if they get Whitaker back to, you know, build that workload. And I think they have a chance. It's a big series this weekend. You win 2 out of 3 while you're piecing this thing together, you got an opportunity, obviously, to be in a real good position when you come back home for NC State. I'm talking about ACC play. NC State next weekend should be a hell of a series in Hauser. That's the other thing. Florida State's had all these games where they've had to play doubleheaders. Games have been moved up. They've had to play it on, you know, they play on a Tuesday, turn around and play it on Thursday instead of a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. You get a Friday and a doubleheader on a Saturday. Just craziness. And when you're short armed, that's really difficult to overcome. And yet they're finding ways to pick off wins here and there. Even losing 2 out of 3 on the road to Wake and being in every one of those games, could have won all three. Even getting the one was a big deal. You're just trying to tread water until you get these guys back. So that's where Florida State's at now. Speaking of which, transfer portal market. All right, this should be a big weekend. I think while the news has been quiet and we all kind of sit back and figure out who is it they're targeting, we know they want a defensive tackle. We know they want a wide receiver. This is a market that is scarce. This is not a cycle in the transfer portal that features a ton of studs. So we're in a position now where you're trying to be selective. You do need the depth. You do need a player or two. You might need more. We'll see what becomes available. But you're not just going to throw money at guys who are rotational pieces that aren't being brought in to be starters. And those are two positions we talked about on yesterday's show. Those are two positions that demand a lot of money, command a lot of money. Like, if you think about it in the portal, what are the positions that command the most money? Defensive tackle, very high on the list. Line of scrimmage is always going to be vital. We know this. If you're an offensive tackle or you're a defensive tackle, you can get paid. And maybe overpaid in some cases. School's desperate enough to do it. Right now, when you look at, like, Michigan State's defensive tackle and you look at UCLA and you look at a few of these other guys, part of the problem for a program like Florida State that has a good first-team defense, a good first-team defensive line, and you're pretty well set with your second team. When you're thinking about bringing a guy in, you're thinking about a guy who at best will be a second-team rotational piece, maybe third. Those are the guys that are going to get paid starters money. It sounds like we're talking about the NFL. College football's kind of gone that way. You're not going to overpay for that. You can't do that. It upsets the apple cart. I'm not going to get out here and get into budgets, but, you know, let's just say Florida State, this is a hypothetical. Let's just say Florida State has $1 million to spend with their collective. I don't know that. They may have $50,000. They may have $40 million. I don't know. But let's just say it's $1 million. You're not going to spend 50%, 60% of that on a defensive tackle that is a third string rotational piece. Somebody else is willing to pay that guy starters money. You're going to lose that battle. And I think you just have to go into the season with what you got at that point, as opposed to overpay and take up that much of your budget. Let's see if they can thread the needle and find the right balance between a guy that can help your football team this year, provide the depth you're looking for, but not cost you an arm and a leg, which subsequently could hurt you when you really have to pony up and there really is a star player that you're going after that you could use and that you'd be willing to overpay because it's a position of great weakness. So Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you, you podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom, a salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
And you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't
no.
be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you can get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's.
The Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome back, Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV, Libations Friday. He's Matt Lasseri. He joins me now on the screen, staff writer, warchant.com, portal expert, recruiting analyst, whatever you want to call him. he's the guy I wanted to bring in today because, Matt, first of all, welcome in, buddy. Maiden voyage for you on the show, with at least in video form.
Yes, sir.
Good to have you aboard. Hey, so seriously, I think when I come in each day, when I get ready to go on, one of the things I think about when trying to address the portal is, well, I can't address the portal until we get some kids the hell up out of here.
Yep.
What's the timeline, do you think, that we'll know which kids are, well, there's two guys in the portal for Florida State right now that have left. We already know that, right? And so, you know, Vandrevious Jacobs gone, no real surprise there, I don't think, for people who understand the situation. Obviously, Greedy Vance. Okay. What do you, I mean, the exit interviews have to pretty much be over now. We're running out of time. This ends on the 30th, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. You got a very small window by which to make magic. What do you suspect, today's Friday, that we're going to hear in the next 24 hours about who's leaving Florida State's roster? You don't have to name names, but what do you think the numbers will look like?
I mean, I've been expecting not a mass exodus, but like something where a lot of people are going to leave soon, because you can't need what – I don't even know how many over we are in scholarships, but it's a good amount, and you can't bring anyone in, and we can't really push hard in the portal until, again, those guys leave. Exit meetings have been happening, as far as I know, all week this week, as well as coaches going on the road to see portal kids and all that kind of stuff. So I would assume they wrap up here probably today, right? If it's Friday, right? It makes sense for it to end today. And then maybe you see kids entering the portal through the weekend and by Monday. I mean, what is it? So April 30th, that's Tuesday. So you got to at least, I would think by Monday, you're seeing all these kids start to roll out.
Yeah, I think they're in a situation. And then, because what you want, I'm putting myself in the position, if I'm a fan right now, look, we know Florida State has a couple of needs they'd like to fill. Now, it's a lot different than it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You're not looking at a situation where if you don't get this guy, you're going to lose two more games. You know, it's like that Florida State had such a dearth of talent at that time. If you miss out on Jermaine Johnson, if you miss out on some of the key figures that came in here and helped turn this thing around, you may not get there. You know, the 5-7 could have been 4-8. The 10-3 could have been 8-4 or 7-5. It's not that way anymore. This is a good team with a good roster. So they have a little bit of wiggle room, but we both know that they're interested. You've been reporting for us on this. If you guys are on the premium recruiting boards, you know this. We have a running list. Matt updates it constantly. 12:10 in the morning, I think, was your last update, right?
Yeah.
So you're following this. Who are they, do we know for certain, going after? Defensive tackle, wide receiver, right?
So, yeah, defensive tackle and wide receiver are the two positions where they're going after, like, by far the hardest. Like, even linebacker, as much as I know you and me both want a new linebacker, it's kind of like – they've kind of slow rolled that one. It's where, unless it's like they want your D tackle or your wide receiver first, if you see a stud go in, they're off to the races and getting it. So like your three guys and the wide receivers, we haven't heard much about, at least this past week or kind of later in the week, it's kind of cooled down. But I think your main three guys are all defensive tackles, with Simeon Barrow Jr. from Michigan State, Derek Harmon from Michigan State, and then Jared Harrison Hunte from Miami. Now, an interesting one from yesterday that, visited Florida State in the winter window, is the linebacker Cam Riley from Auburn, decommitted from NC State last night.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. Not hearing a whole lot on that front, but remember, that was an NC State FSU battle down the stretch.
I was just about to say, wait a minute. The only reason that's interesting is that it was NC State or us. We lost out to NC State. A lot of frustration amongst Florida State faithful in that moment. Listen, I'm not going to hide it. I've been critical of the linebacker room. I've been critical of the linebacker coach. I've been critical of Florida State's position at linebacker for a couple of years now. They've had guys that have been pretty good players, but they have not been elite. And I feel like at Florida State, you have the opportunity at linebacker to be elite if you want to be. I'm not saying this guy changes the world for Florida State, but do we suspect now that he decommitted from NC State that Florida State would be number one on his list? Have you spoken to him?
So I spoke to him briefly last night during when the draft was going on and stuff. He told me FSU had not contacted him yet, and that was literally – maybe an hour after he decommitted. So again, let's give it a little bit of time. I'll probably reach back out to him sometime today. At that point, he said no one else had actually contacted him. The school we are kind of hearing there is UCF, which came out of nowhere to me. That was news to me. But it's, again, Florida State, if they want this one, you would think they could have it just because they already have the relationship built. You're already there. Like, You already had the visit. Like, you don't really need to do much there. At least you wouldn't think so.
Elijah Herring, we're on that position. Let's talk about it. Yay, nay?
Seems like nothing has happened. He visited. But what's weird, though, is that he also hasn't done much. He visited Colorado right when he entered, and now he hasn't done anything this whole week, and now he's visiting Kansas State.
But so like, this is the kid, for people that don't know, Matt, this is the kid from Tennessee, right? The linebacker, sideline to sideline, 70-plus tackles a year ago, their leading tackler. He's huge, by the way, by our standards. 238 pounds, can really go. What gives? Yeah. We're not interested?
I think it's like I said, it's more of those, the D tackle and the wide receiver, that if those are the ones they want to get first. And I think personally, it's probably because the linebacker room did show improvement over the spring. And honestly, in my opinion, probably the most improved position group. So they kind of fell off the board a little bit. They just want, they can get a stud D tackle and a stud wide receiver, and that's all they do this portal window, I think they're happy.
Do they exist in this window, though? I don't. This is this particular cycle of the portal. This is not an elite group crop of players. So, in your opinion, based on who you know they've been targeting, I'm moving over to wide receiver now.
Yep.
Is this a situation? Because there is no Keon Coleman in the portal this cycle. Is this a situation where you want to take a kid, even a kid from like a lower level? I always use Marshall as my example, like just some school like that, where a kid's played a lot, ton of catches, an experienced football player, but not an earth shaker, not a first round pick, not a guy that people are going to be, wow. Cause you could get a guy with that experience to help even out that room that has a bunch of guys that have never had to do it.
Yeah. So with that, like there was, if I could find his name on here, there was one kid from Colorado State that kind of stood out there, that kind of fit that mold. A wide receiver that I like, who, again, I think they're targeting, but I haven't really heard much on the wide receiver front in the back end of the week. Elijah Badger from Arizona State. I know you and Tom have talked about him. I feel that kid is, like, perfect for this offense. They've used him – sorry. At Arizona State, they used him from the run game. he had 11 carries for 51 yards, I believe, there. And then, obviously, he was really good as a receiver – and he even returned kicks. Like, this was an all-around kid. He's coming from Kenny Dillingham's offense, which isn't too different from Mike Norvell's offense. Like, I just felt like, in general, that was a perfect fit there.
Is that somebody they're going after? Is it somebody they've talked to? Do you know?
It is someone they've talked to. From what we've heard, it's someone they've talked to. But, again, that was in the front end of the week. The back end of the week, haven't heard much.
All right. Any other receivers to tell us about that you think they've talked – well, that you know they've talked to, or that would they'd be interested in based on what you're hearing?
The one that we kind of heard about early on was Auburn wide receiver Jay Fair from Rockwall Heath, Dallas, Texas, originally. Again, not really much there right now. I think that's kind of your lower on the board if you can't get anyone. I kind of get the feeling that right now they're still waiting to see if a stud will enter, something more will happen, right? Because also, yes, that you can't enter the portal after the 30th, but you can still commit and sign and all that kind of stuff. So if you can get that one guy to enter – on the 30th or sign his paperwork on the 30th. And then I think he won't actually be in the portal until 48 hours later, because that's how long the paperwork and all that kind of stuff takes. So you could see that stud wide receiver enter there and then it's off to the races. I just feel like it's no one who's like that, not Keon Coleman level, but even a little bit below, who's kind of really, really caught their eye yet.
It's interesting to hear that, because everybody thinks, and for good reason, man, this is, we're all new to this right now in terms of the transfer portal and the marketplace and who, what money goes where and why. It does appear to me, talking to folks in collectives, that look, you're going to always overpay for a defensive tackle because everybody needs them.
Yep.
Everybody wants a stud wide receiver too, and you're probably going to overpay there. The only other position where you'd pay more for a guy is a quarterback. Everybody knows you're going to have to pay quarterbacks. If you're in need of a quarterback, you're probably going to have to pony up. But those are the positions, right? Offensive line is also on that list. I think it's fascinating that each of these cycles, we've kind of learned that there's a chance that if you just wait it out and it makes everybody uncomfortable – There's a real good chance your favorite team out there is talking to somebody who's on edge, is contemplating, isn't sure, would like to know what kind of offers he would have. He's not going to just willy-nilly put his name out there in the portal just to do it. We're watching kids mature at the same time we're all figuring this out and covering it. I think it's fascinating. It used to be everybody floods the portal. I'm putting my name in there. Well, man, you're on Front Street at that point. You just told everybody that you're unhappy where you're at. Yep. You just told everybody that you'd be happy to go somewhere else. Kids are wising up. They're like, well, maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I don't have another home. Maybe the grass isn't greener. Maybe the money's not as good as I thought it was going to be. So I'm not real sure. But that doesn't mean they're not talking to teams. And that's what you're getting at. There could be somebody out there, and we're speculating, could be somebody out there that Florida State's talking to. We'll see. Maybe convince them that put your name in. There's a home for you.
I mean, while you were saying that, I thought of the analogy of it's like when you already have a girl at a bar and then you kind of see another hot girl across the way and you're like, but I want to go talk to this girl, but I kind of got a chance to get home with this one right now. So like, it's kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. And you can't let the other one know.
Yeah.
Like, how do I engineer this? I'm going to go to the bathroom right now. Maybe a little word over here. I'll keep it walking. Yeah. See, I hear you. It's been years. Yeah. I've been married for 20 years, but I get to, I was in college once. That's a fair analogy and perfectly suited for a man your age. I appreciate you did that. All right. Any other things we should know going into the weekend? Because it's the last time I'll talk to you before some probably big news happens. Next time will be on Monday, maybe. Anything that you want to just speculate about, throw out there that you think, huh, this could happen, I'd be interested, or for people to pay attention to over the weekend anyhow?
I will say, I think, so in general, I think the weekend's going to be a little more chill. Like the Michigan State kids, one of them graduates today, and he's going to be at Miami on, both of them are actually going to be at Miami on Monday. So, I mean, and Florida State's pushing for the last visit for both. In my mind, you're already in Florida. I feel like it's easy to take that trip up to Tallahassee. The one, again, I'm really watching is that Miami defensive lineman, Harrison Hunte. I think they have the best chance at him because I think if you're talking money-wise or NIL-wise, I think you can get him at a little cheaper price point because he doesn't have the production of these Michigan State guys. And he's still good. I'm looking at, like, Kane Sport, Miami boards kind of stuff. They all really liked him, and they didn't want that guy to leave. As much as they might say on Twitter.
How did this come about, Matt? I mean, nobody was talking about that all that long ago. Yeah. A couple of days ago, nobody thought that was coming. Where did that come from?
I wish I knew. Maybe it's the girl at the bar thing we were just talking about.
Yeah. Well, screw Miami is what I'll say. So,
yeah.
There you go. Not really worried about it. I do like to know that they care about him and that they like him. And
yeah,
it'd be cool if he left and came here, I suppose. What a weird world we live in, man. This never would have happened when I was in school. The thought of a kid leaving a Florida and coming to Florida State, leaving a Miami and coming to Florida State, but it was so rarely seen and really frowned upon. But we know things change, and that's what's happened in the world of the portal. You grab kids from your rival all the time. We just did it with Florida.
Yep.
Richie just came over. We're like, okay, well, that'll work. So it'll be interesting to see. Okay, well, we'll continue to monitor that. Thank you, Matt Lacerre. We'll continue to follow your reports, obviously, on the premium recruiting boards there. Good work out of you. Talk to you soon, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. That's our own Matt Lacerre, warchant.com. You can read his work on warchant.com. You can follow his updates regarding the portal and recruiting, all that good stuff, both in the regular tribal council, but also the premium recruiting boards there. You want to go do that. This is a weird time. You got to get kids out of here before you can get kids in here. I've been waiting for kids to leave. We're all waiting for kids to leave. You got to massage that situation, but time is of the essence. It's the 26th of April. This ends pretty soon. You really can't definitively offer up 3, 4, 5, 6 guys if that's your plan until you get that many of these guys plus to leave. So until that happens, you won't hear about any movement that is definitive. You'll hear these rumors, but our guy Matt Lacerre is on it. Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. Whether making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy, the Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to knollretirement.com. Now, that's one word,
NoelRetirement.com.
The Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
So the thing of it is, if we're talking about, well, first of all, thanks to Matt Lasser, WarChant.com, recruiting, staff writer, does a good job. Up and coming star in the business. I guess hold your, you know, we'll see if this is dated at the time that you're watching it. I don't think so. It's just a couple hours before I would normally go on. But we'll continue to monitor that. If you want those updates, you need to go over to the recruiting board and check it out. And the premium recruiting board will have everything you need. If you're not a member of WarChant.com, a subscriber, I should say, let's get on it. Almost like a membership. Almost like a membership, right? Feel like you're part of an exclusive club, the best club of all the clubs. The thing of it is, again, I don't think the numbers are going to be huge. I think it's going to be a few at best. So the shuffling is from Florida State's side getting kids out the door so that they can bring in those few. So prepare to hear some names. Prepare to hear some receivers and the like and go from there. Because I think those are the positions, right? We've talked about running back maybe. We've talked about wide receiver. I'm holding my breath. They don't lose some of those talented defensive backs, but that is a room that is loaded. So there's a possibility there too. But I think you could get to the numbers you need with just maybe three or four receivers and a couple other guys that, you know, maybe aren't going to play for you that have been here for 3 or 4 years. How quickly can they get these guys, for lack of a better term, processed through so that you can open up your arms and say, come on in, guys, come on in. All right, so the draft last night. Here's the thing. If you're a Falcons fan, how frustrated are you? It's not that Michael Penix won't work out. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll turn out. I mean, we know the bust rate on quarterbacks is overwhelming. These are crazy numbers of quarterbacks. In fact, look at these numbers. I pulled this up earlier this morning when I was prepping. So the Bears have now drafted a quarterback in the top 15 three times in the last 8 years. Trubisky, Fields, and now Caleb Williams. Think about that. Three quarterbacks in 8 years that they've drafted. First team to do that in 60 years in the modern era of the draft. Unlike past years with the Bears, for example, this time around they have weapons. And they've got a guy, too, that they drafted that can develop. Odunze is a nice player. Obviously, they brought in veteran receivers in the offseason, so maybe they give a guy a chance. By the way, highest drafted quarterbacks I'll get to this stat in a second, and I'll marry the two. This is basically six quarterbacks in the first round, most in the first round since 1983. 1983 is as famous a draft as there is for quarterbacks. We're talking about Elway and Marino and Easton and all those guys. We know how big that draft was. Not everybody makes it. That's true of the modern NFL draft. And that will be true of this draft. In fact, just go back a few years and look at all the guys that were taken. I think it was five in the top 15, and only one has re-signed, re-upped with a second contract with the team that took him. There's a high miss rate on quarterbacks. I think we've reached a place where we're starting to enter into insanity. Throwing darts at a board, just peppering your roster with quarterbacks, like hoping like hell that one of these guys will emerge. And in some cases, you're getting guys that did not show it in college, didn't show you anything that made you think, oh yeah, his game translates, it's going to work out well here, he's a perfect fit. I mean, Bo Nix going that high is kind of insane. I'm not saying Bo Nix won't be good. He might. There have been a lot of players worse than Bo Nix that made it into the league and end up having some semblance of success. I mean, right about now, all bets are off when you're looking at Mr. Irrelevant starting for the San Francisco 49ers and going to a Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think we know you can, in the right situations, work around weakness, especially if you have an abundance of strengths. If you have a good offensive line, if you can run the football, if you've got a great defense and a really good play caller and an elite tight end, yeah, if everything's in place, an average quarterback who's never been anything more than average when he was in college can be put in the right situation, and if you can bolster his confidence and get him to play within himself, you can win games. But you're not really trying to draft that guy, are you? You're trying to draft the guy that when things aren't right and you don't have a perfect roster and you don't take the field as the better team, then that guy can still win you games. Mahomes has proven that. There are so few quarterbacks that actually go win games. There are many more that go and lose games for you. So coaches are always paranoid. We live in the era of the check down. In the check down era, Bo Nix could be successful. So could all these guys. Michael Penix throws a better ball than Bo Nix by a lot. You could argue Michael Penix throws the best ball in this draft. Problem with Michael Penix is he's 24 years old. You just brought in Atlanta a quarterback. I'll grant you, Kirk Cousins coming off of a Achilles. They're worried about him. He's 36 years old, but you signed him to a huge deal, upwards of $100 million. He's going to be your starting quarterback for at least 2 years. You've got the option of the third. And I will tell you this, if Kirk Cousins wins in Atlanta, now they needed to go defense and they didn't go defense. They went quarterback. That's why it's the talk of the draft. But if Kirk Cousins wins this year, because they believe they're a quarterback away from winning. That's a pretty good football team. They chose by bringing Cousins in a path to try to win now. So when you bring in a veteran like that and you take a chance on a guy who, Kirk Cousins never been a top five quarterback, but he's good enough to win with. If you've got other pieces, he's a plus quarterback. Now, again, would I want him to be my franchise quarterback? No, but if I had a lot of things working for me, I could understand why you'd take a chance on him. The point is, the Falcons did. They went out and signed him. They brought him in. He's going to be the starter for 2 years, maybe the starter for 3 years. You just drafted a 24-year-old quarterback to sit behind him. That is not exactly an effort to win now. An effort to win now is you bring that quarterback in, you shore up your pass rush, you go grab Turner or one of the three defensive ends, whether it's Dallas Turner, whether it's Latu, whether it's Jared Verse, that's what you go do. You could actually argue, if you wanted to, that you grab an offensive lineman. You grab, I don't know, Adunze. You could have grabbed a receiver, and you would have been like, oh, well, you know, they brought in Kirk Cousins. It kind of makes sense to go give him some help. You could have said almost any position would have been in an effort to win now. Offensive line, wide receiver, I don't know, you know, any position you could have, because they needed defensive help, so you could have said several positions on defense. But instead, you go quarterback who's going to sit behind a guy that you're paying a gazillion dollars to. I know it came out that Kirk was pissed about it. I don't really care about his feelings. I get mad when these guys do this. Look, man, you've made a gazillion dollars in the NFL. Your money's mostly guaranteed. It's going to work out. Don't worry about the fact that they drafted Michael Penix. You can WTF this all you want. You're rich. Go play. You're the starter. Don't worry about it. Would have been nice if the Falcons were on the same page. And it does kind of show you that they're not exactly a well-run organization. And I did think it was interesting last night to watch their GM have a conversation with their owner and have that be on camera as he's trying to explain to him, well, Arthur, this is why we went and took a quarterback with this pick. And I know you didn't possibly suspect that that's what we were going to do. Or couldn't have known that. I didn't tell you that. That's why I'm explaining it to you now on camera, and this is a little bit awkward. And I'm sure he could probably pull the wool over the eyes of an old man who's going to listen to the guys that he's got in positions of power. But the quizzical look on Arthur Blank's face was the right look. Arthur, you're right. You're not wrong. You should have been wondering what the hell the Falcons are doing, because that dude that you drafted is 24, won't play until he's 26 at best, maybe 27. And, oh, by the way, he's got an injury history with the knee. So you drafted an old quarterback who's got knee problems so that he could sit for 2 to 3 years. That ain't it. And I like Penix. And maybe Penix goes on to have a very good career several years from now. You do realize that a player like Jordan Love is only a few months older than Penix, and he's been in the league for a couple of years? Like that. The other thing is typically we see with these guys in the modern era, anyhow, where quarterbacks are so protected and quarterbacks get the benefit of the doubt and offense rules the day. Not in all cases, but in a lot of cases, you're better off getting a guy and plugging and playing and letting him get reps in the system and learning from mistakes so that by the time he is 24, like Michael Penix, he's had a couple of years to figure it out and emerge. Now, you can ruin a guy. I'll grant you can ruin a guy. But that was just bizarre last night. I said yesterday going into the draft, I thought the draft really began with the fourth pick overall. Was anybody going to give a king's ransom to Arizona in order to get that fourth pick? Or would they sit and just stick with Marvin Harrison Jr.? And then what would happen with the quarterbacks that remain? But, man, nobody, just looking big picture of the storyline of the night, offensive linemen, there were 9 offensive linemen taken with 32 picks. That'll tell you where this league is headed. A bunch of quarterbacks, record-setting number of quarterbacks within the top 12 picks, and we're at a place now where we can just say it. Yeah, I'll grant you, we don't know which of these guys are going to emerge as the stars. We don't know which guys are going to have the best NFL careers. GMs, all the best scouts, fail routinely in vetting these players. So you kind of you have to admit that no matter how strong your feelings are, like mine for J.J. McCarthy, I don't see it. I don't know why anybody took him. I don't believe in him. I would have graded him out as a third-round pick, doesn't matter what I think. The funny part is it's all a lot of fun for us to do because I'm not so sure they know either. That's proven every draft. Most of the time, the top quarterback taken doesn't turn out to be the best quarterback taken, see Patrick Mahomes. So we can guess along with them because our chances of throwing the dart at the dartboard and hitting is probably about the same at this point, especially if you're an avid viewer of college football. But, man, I do feel like we've fallen into the realm right now of just taking quarterbacks to take them. Like, there's nobody on earth midway through the season this past year that was like, you know, I think that Bo Nix will go in the top 15. You do? What? And the reason I bring that up, because somebody might quickly type into Google. We can all do that. What were Bo Nix's numbers at Oregon? Well, they're great. They're fantastic numbers. Go look at the offense. He's asked to make a lot of short throws. He's asked to make a lot of quick throws. He wasn't asked to read defenses. He wasn't asked to go to his third and fourth option. He wasn't a guy that you could see 1, 2, 3, 4 composure down the field. That's not what he was asked to do. He got the ball out quickly. Athletes made plays, racked up big numbers. Maybe it works out for him. Maybe he's in the perfect offense. Maybe Sean Payton's like, you know what? I had that. I had Drew Brees. He had a child's arm the last 5 years he was in the league. And all I did was throw the ball 4 and 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. I need a kid that can throw the ball in a noisy pocket, take a small step forward, get it out of his hand. I'm a genius. I'm Sean Payton. I'll find a way to make this work. I made it work with a guy that could barely shot put the ball 20 yards down the field at the end of his career. Maybe that's true. But, man, I feel like we're drafting quarterbacks that nobody – I mean, this is happening time and again. It's a desperate, desperate league. Run by offense, quarterback-driven. Just keep peppering, keep firing away at quarterbacks. We'll draft 3 in 8 years before the Chicago Bears. Eventually, we're going to get one right, right? We'll draft 3 in 7 years, 3 in 5 years. I mean, this is where we're headed. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Hour number 2 forthcoming. Stay with.